a text for our brief homily on this Christmas Eve of 2022 is the third lesson that we read together from Matthew chapter 2, and it's the story of the visit of the wise men. I won't read the passage again. There are two particular issues relating to this story. One is chronology. When did this happen? And the other is how many wise men were there? Matthew, when you read the passage, and it's the third passage that we read together, Matthew seems to imply that Jesus is now a young child. He's not referred to as the baby lying in the manger that we have in the Luke passage, the second passage that we read together. Nor does Matthew allude to a manger, but rather in chapter 2 and verse 11, he talks about a house. And it looks like Mary and Joseph and Jesus have stayed in Bethlehem. Some conjecture, months have gone by. Some conjecture, perhaps as much as a year and a half has gone by. There is some reason to believe that Jesus is older, because when Herod eventually does execute the baby boys in Bethlehem, that terrible, terrible pogrom, he killed babies up to 2 years of age. So they weren't looking for an infant, they were looking for a young child. We think there are three kings. They weren't kings. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. They've been given names. Scripture doesn't allude to these names. We think there are three because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But catacomb drawings in caves in the second century record images of two wise men and four wise men, and in one instance, eight wise men, and in one instance, 12 wise men. We don't know. But three things that we do know about these wise men. First of all, they searched for Jesus. They searched for him. Now, they're called magi. It's the Greek word magus in the plural, magi. And it's a word that's used in Daniel chapter 2, when you remember Nebuchadnezzar is having dreams, terrible dreams, and he wants someone to interpret them. And Daniel is referred to as a magus, a dream interpreter. Where were they from? From the east. And that can mean a lot of things, and it could mean Iraq, and it could mean what we would call today Iran. They were scholars in astronomy and astrology. Now, this doesn't mean that the Bible is approving of astrological matters, but there was a strong belief in Persia in the 1st and 2nd centuries B.C., it was riddled with Zoroastrianism, which has a great deal to do with the stars and how the stars in a certain alignment can have political ramifications. What this is saying is that God can use pagans to bring him glory. God can speak into the minds and hearts of those who otherwise do not know him and do not worship him to bring glory to himself. They followed a star. More questions. What kind of star? There's a book by Colin Nicol, published maybe 5 or 6 years ago by Crossway, a conservative publisher. And it's called The Great Christ Comet. It's one of these coffee table books. Don't do any last minute shopping, it's out of print. But it's a great little book, and it's written at a very technical level by someone who is a physicist, and who argues that this was a comet. Some of you can remember Halley's Comet that passed by a few years ago. And it appeared in the sky, and it moved, because it was so far away, it moved relatively slowly. It would have taken weeks if they were in Iran, if they were in central Persia. It would have taken them weeks, perhaps a month or more, to get to Jerusalem. Hymns will depict this star with great poetry and panache, depict it as floating by. But a light that was heading westward towards Jerusalem. Halley's Comet, perhaps. They would have been familiar ever since the Babylonian captivity. A Jewish prophecy would have been known, and perhaps particularly by the Magi, who were interested in prophetic matters. And they would have read, perhaps, or have been told of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 5, that Bethlehem and a star and a king would be born. They might have been familiar with Balaam's oracle in Numbers 22 through 24. You remember Balak, King Balak of Moab, summoned the pagan Balaam to curse Israel, but every time he spoke, only blessings came out. But one of the blessings that came out, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will arise out of Jacob, and it shall crush the forehead of Moab." Little prophecies, little predictions in the Old Testament of the birth of a king associated with a star. And they searched for him. They were willing to travel great distances in order to find him. Maybe that's a lesson for some of you tonight. What is Christmas Eve about? It's about Jesus. It's about the birth of the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. And search him. Do all you can to find him. Secondly, they bowed to him. We're told, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. These were pagans. But they had come to believe in this prophecy. They had gone to Herod. Herod had said that they were to come back to him with word if they found him, because he too wanted to worship Jesus. He did not. But when they found him in this house in Bethlehem, they bowed down and worshipped him. Wise men worship Jesus. And wise men and women still do. They still worship him. Jesus is more than a name. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Savior who has come into the world to save sinners like you and me. He was just a little boy. Perhaps he was 18 months old. Perhaps he could barely walk yet. But they believed, and they bowed down, and they worshipped him. This Christmas Eve, we worship him still. We acknowledge him to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, worthy of our worship, worthy of our hearts, worthy of our praise, worthy of our songs and carols. They searched for him, they worshipped him, and thirdly, they offered gifts to him. Gold, which has regal connotations, frankincense, which was used in Old Testament worship, and myrrh, used for anointing of kings. Gifts, perhaps, that Mary and Joseph sold in Egypt to pay for food and lodging when they left in haste Bethlehem because of Herod. They were pagan astrologers, magi. But they found something in Christ that fulfilled what they were searching for. The great Saint Augustine, in his equally great Confessions, once wrote that God made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. For years, these magi had been searching, looking at the stars, reading ancient prophecies and predictions. But now, in Bethlehem, they found Jesus, who fulfilled all of their longings, who answered all of their questions. God had made these magi for himself, and their hearts were restless until they found their rest in Jesus Christ. May all of you find that true rest and peace that is to be found in believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his birth in Bethlehem, as predicted by the prophet Micah. We thank you for the miracle of his birth, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that he is the promised Savior. It is to him now that we look and turn. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our affections. You are our all in all. In you, we are complete. We thank you for the hope of glory that resides within our hearts because of Christmas Day and Calvary and the resurrection and the ascension and the second coming. Father, this Christmas, may those in the sound of my voice tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus and have never truly believed in him, call them effectually by the power of the Holy Spirit to embrace this Christ child that is offered to them as a Savior and Lord. And hear us and bless us, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.